what I was hoping to accomplish today is to move forward in Reb Chaim, but then it occurred to me that before we do so, it would be worthwhile if we take a look at least parts of an article. Sam kindly has copies to give out. And let me just say, I don't know if I've ever mentioned anything about Rav Moshe Soloveitchik. This is Rav Moshe Soloveitchik from Switzerland, who's gone not long ago, died pretty recently. And he's somehow related to the Soloveitchiks. I'm not exactly sure how. But in this particular essay, part of which I wanted to call to your attention, and hopefully the first page that you want to look at is Tuf Mem Dalid, if you just want to follow this inside.
I got two copies.
Yeah. There's a third copy you gave me. I don't need it because I have the original.
Okay.
So if anyone shows up, if Alan comes or David. So you'll see a little, like a kind of a upside down triangle on the right side. That's where we want to take a look at. And his goal here, Rav Moshe Soloveitchik, is to try to analyze the Chazon Ish. Apparently he had some sort of a relationship. I don't know if he was a Talmud of the Chazon Ish, but to try to see what the Chazon Ish is analyzing. Now, let's just recap very quickly one particular point that we made yesterday, and that'll be the takeoff to what we want to discuss today. David, we have a copy for you in case you want it.
Okay.
It's up to you. You know, this, we don't force anyone to take the copy.
Okay.
And the main point that we made yesterday was that Tosus says that, of course, we have to accept Karka Olam as a matir in the case of Gili Arayis, because the whole din of Yehori Val Yavor Gili Arayis is derived from Ritzicha. And Ritzich itself, if they were to force you to allow yourself to be thrown on the baby or suffer death, you would be allowed to give up your life. Why? Because my chazis now works in both directions and generates a situation of Shevi Altas, which is called Karka'ol. Now the Chazon Ish analyzes a certain line in Reb Chaim. Reb Chaim says, I'll read you the line, he says the following. He says that near the Kavanas HaTosfos, I'm just reading the Reb Chaim to you, which I think we gave out yesterday. If not, you have it here on the top left. The Kavan derotzechu misvar the my chazis the damach didach v'chulei imkain hagavim hayem eshkachinan the hayem bezen din rotzeach, that if we could find that there would be a din rotzeach rak the lo ovid maisa, so he violates ritzicha but he doesn't do an action. Lo hayechayev limsar saksmo. The Matzi Omar, Adarava, Maichos the Dama de Chavre, Sumach Tvei Dilma, Dama de Di Sumach Tvei.
So it's not the Isser, it's the activity.
Correct. Came in the low coffee device. And if we apply that now to Gili Arayis, then she becomes inactive in Karkola. And even though she's violating, as we pointed out from the Sugyan Baba Kama, Gili Arayis, because Venichrusu Anafosh Haosos, but nevertheless she did it passively, and therefore Nimakum Shabasa, you derive it from Rotzeach, and therefore Shevi Altas. So the Chazon Ish says that he doesn't understand Reb Chaim. Why doesn't he understand Reb Chaim? Because if they were to force him to pick himself up and walk to a place where he's going to be pushed over the ledge and fall on the tinok, then the law would be Yehareg Val Yavar. So please, if you can, follow me inside. You don't have to. You can listen Bal Peh. But again, we're on the right column on page Tuf Mem Dalid, and we're about 10 lines down. I'm not going to read the text inside. I'm just going to explain it. He says, certainly in such a case where you would have to walk from place X to place Y to situate yourself at the edge of the roof, let's say, then in such a case, for sure the halacha would be a harig val yavar, because again, since you have to move from one place to the other, that in the Chazon Ish's understanding is considered already an active element. Again, you can debate that point. He says, "Imkain." Therefore, bevade atosus shaomrim shaloye hareg. According to the logic of the Chazon Ish, that Tosus says you don't have to give yourself up to death. It must be talking about a case where he doesn't have to go from place to place. He's purely passive, and he's located at a certain spot. Says Rav Moshe Soloveitchik, if so, I don't begin to understand what the Chazon Ish's problem is with Reb Chaim. Reb Chaim still has the same point, that if he doesn't go from place to place, then he's not a Rotzeach. So how can Reb Chaim use this as a case where he's a Rotzeach, but he's passive, he's not a Rotzeach at all? So to explain the Chazon Ish's question, he says the following. Al-Kachach Tzarech Lomar, I'm skipping a few lines down, that under what circumstance is the Chazon Ish right that he could violate Ritzicha and yet Yavar V'Yal Yehorg, he can violate Ritzicha and he doesn't have to die. He says the following. If he was Ole L'Rosh HaGag, if he climbed up to the top of the roof in order to fall, to be pushed by the roof mitzuyah on the tinok, then ha-maiser etzicha misyacheses elov. Then you could say that there's a relationship between the maiser etzicha and the killing of the baby. Why? Ki havi, he says, it's kemeiniach even v'sakin v'rosh gag, kidei sheyipol beruach mitzuyah. And here says Rav Moshe Soloveitchik, he thinks that what the Chazon Ish has in mind is mali imeniach even or imeniach atzmo. He can make himself into an even. So if he climbs up to the top of the roof, then he should be chayev misa. At this point, Rav Moshe Soloveitchik backs away a little bit because he says that there's a sugya in Sanhedrin. This is called the famous sugya mitzamtzem, and the sugya basically says that unless you actively commit ritzicha, you're not chayev. So you're not considered culpable for death under the death penalty for a murderer unless you actively kill someone. And there are many cases in which you do an action as a result of which someone dies, but yet you're not put to death for that. Like, for example, if you tie someone down to a train tracks or something along that line, that comes under the general sugi called mitzamtzem. Literally, mitzamtzem means when someone's underwater, you didn't put him underwater, but you don't allow him to escape and he dies. So you don't get the gas chambers for that. You don't get the electric chair for that, right? He says, afsha ruach misayoso, even though the ruach is helping him, however, although he's not culpable for death in such a case, nevertheless, he has violated the Isur Tzicha l'man di Omer Isho Mishum Chitzov. V'choshiv Rotzeach, aval eino osa shum maisa. So again, the act of climbing up to the roof, even though he situates himself at the edge of the roof where he's going to be pushed over by the Ruach, that's not called the Maisa Ritzicha. The Maisa Ritzicha would only be when he falls from the roof onto the baby, and at that point he's totally passive. So that would be a kind of a Mitzamtzem situation, otherwise known as Gram Ritzicha. So we couldn't put him to death, but nevertheless he violates the Isa Ritzicha. Mitzamtzem is a Maisa, but it's not called a Maisa Ritzicha because
I'm just sitting like this.
Well, no, yeah, whatever it is, but you what you do is you close off his escape route, right?
I'm not pushing him in.
I'm not pushing him in. He's submerged,
but I'm not doing this.
And my hand is on top of his head in such a way that not pushing him down, but he can't come up for air.
And that's called
that's called mitzamtzem in the Lashon of the Gemara.
That's called the Maisa?
It's called grum. It's a very extreme case of grum. Why do I say it's an extreme case of grum? It's very close to a maisa because in Hilchus Adam Amazik he'd probably have to pay under Adam Amazik, but in Hilchus Ritzicha there's a special locha that he's got to kill a mamish. You know, he's got to. But again, the point that I want to make here is, and that's what I think Ramosh is saying, that even though he doesn't do a maisa when the wind carries him off, nevertheless the ritzicha relates to him halachically, legally, through the principle, the mechanics called isho mishum chitza. So he's definitely in violation of ritzicha. Are you with me on that? That putting yourself up on the roof so that you'll fall as a result of the ruach mitzuyah and you'll kill a baby, that's called a violation of ritzicha, meaning you violate the Isa Lo Sirtach, but it's without a maisa.
How is that ishim? Ishim mishum means that if I send an arrow out, that's considered my force. Here, the wind is doing the arrow. He is the arrow.
Right, and Rabbi Yochanan says that the reason why you're chayev if you place a stone on top of the roof and it falls with the ruach is that that's considered like chitzov. It's as if you sent out a chitz.
No, you're not sending. The wind is supplying
correct.
Power.
But that's called koach achem urbo. In other words, again, Reish Lakish holds like you. But I'm just trying to defend Rabbi Yochanan. We pass like Rabbi Yochanan in this case. That isho mishum chitzov. And isho mishum chitzov means that if I utilize the powers of the wind, I don't know if you were here, Sam, when we discussed Melech Zoreh. I think you were here.
Yes.
That Zoreh is based on the sugya of Isham Shum Chitzo.
Right.
Because Melech Zoreh means I throw up the thing and the wind carries it. So the wind actually does the Maisa, but since I set it up, and this is relevant to automation and what's the status of machines on Shabbos, is that it's also relevant to Pesach, by the way, in terms of Lishma and Afiyas Amatzes. And it's considered my maisa. Why is it considered my maisa? Because I set it up such that the wind just has to blow, and it's a normal velocity wind. But in Hilchos Ritzicha, I won't be put to death. It's an amazing thing. The Rambam says that a gorem, if somebody causes someone else's death, afal pisha ein bezdin avisano. So I think it's Perek Dalet Halacha Aleph. The Rambam says afal pichein Nikra Rotzeach. He's a Rotzeach, even though we cannot put him to death. So as far as Bezdin's hands are concerned, their hands are tied, but it's a Maiser, but it's considered Averis Ritzicha. Here too, in the case where he puts himself up on the top of the roof and he falls through the roof Mitsuya and he kills the baby, that's considered Isha Mishum Chitzov. He is considered a violator of Ritzicha, but we can't put him to death.
Would the case be different if in one motion he went to the roof and without stopping?
Could be.
Allegedly falls
so off. That's a sugya mesechta chulin as far as shechita is concerned. What happens if the water is already moving? And as the water is moving and the animal is situated here, I put the shechita, the knife here, so that the water is going to carry the knife and do the shechita. That might be considered koach ha'adam, what's called koach gavra. But if on the other hand the water is coming from here and it takes a while until the water gets here, that's not considered kosher shechita because I didn't actively do the shechita. So therefore, this would be the case that Lechora the Chazon Ish would come up with, in which you would not have to give up your life because all they're asking you to do is remain stationary at the edge of the roof. The wind will carry you over. And that's called karka olma. Why? Because you don't do a maisa. And despite that fact, you violate the iser etzicha. So he says the following. He says that on the top of the left, this is very interesting, but it has nothing to do with Reb Chaim. Meaning, Reb Chaim is just pointing out that Tosfos, in the case where we will throw you on the baby, has no argument. That's Reb Chaim's point. Because in the case where we will throw you on the baby, you're just an Evan Biyad HaZorek, and the Rotzeach is the person who's throwing you down. Enochinami, if the wind carries you down, we're not going to consider the wind a Rotzeach, we'll consider you a Rotzeach through the principle of Isha Mishum Chitzah. And he says the Reb Chaim clearly agrees to that. That says, he says, "V'nira de kavanas atosvus is im havi mishkechinan diyeheva zed din ritzicha rak de lo ka'avid ma'isa lo hayachayv limsor zatzmo." In other words, Reb Chaim's argument against Tosfos is only because Tosfos speaks about a case of hanichenu v'nashlichecha al atinok. In that case, he's not violating Ritzicha by letting himself be thrown on the baby. In the case of the wind, where there is no Rotzeach, then Enochinami, he becomes the Rotzeach. Again, he's exempt from the liability of Misa, Misa's Bezdin, because of a technicality, if you will, but he's considered a violator of Ritzicha. And that's what Reb Chaim means when he says that in Tosin's case, that he's only an Evan Biyad HaPoel, Vienosis Shum Dabar. When you have the human intervention, the human action, because somebody is throwing him down onto the Tino, that's going to be considered as if you're just an Evan Viada Zorek. You're just a Heftel, you're an object. You're not a person who's acting, and therefore there's no violation of Ritzicha. But if we can find the case where you violate Ritzicha but the Shevi Altas, the thing would be, Enochayev Limsar's Atzma. And therefore, for example, if let's say they would throw him off the roof and he has a choice of moving away and then they'll kill him, he doesn't have to move away because once again he's not a rotzeach. They're the rotzeach. The one who's throwing him off the roof is the rotzeach. So this would be interesting. Let's say a person would put a gun to your head. No, that doesn't make any sense, right? Let's say three people. There's Reuven, Shimon, and Levi. So Reuven says to Shimon, "You're holding on to a gun. I'm also holding on to a gun, and I'm going to kill you unless you give that gun over to Levi, and he's going to shoot the gun and kill someone." Would Shimon have to give up his life for that?
Who's
going to do the Ritzich?
But it's not Sheval Taos anymore.
Correct. So that's what Sam, the whole point of this Reb Chaim is that before you ask the question, is it Shevi Altas or not, ask a first question, are you going to be considered a Rotzeach? Again, whether you're liable for death is irrelevant, but the question is, do you violate Ritzicha? If Shimon passes on a gun to Levi, that's a very immoral thing to do, knowing full well the Levi's about to commit murder, but it's not an act of murder. Levi is a clear-cut murderer. The Chazon Ish's case, on the other hand, is where he would stand on the top of the roof and no one's going to throw him down. No human being is going to intervene and throw him down from the top of the roof. It's only the wind that's going to throw him down to the roof. If the wind throws him down, we have the principle of Koach Acha Me'urav Bo from Yochanan of Isha Mishum Chitzov, then he becomes a violator of the Isur Tzicha. And Enochinani, in that case, he would not have to give up his life. He can remain stationary, knowing full well that the weight of his body is going to crush the baby to death, but that has nothing to do with Tosus's point. So again, if in theory you come up with a case of a violation of Ritzicha v'shevi al taseh, enochinami, that would be karka olam, and then we have something to discuss. But before you ask me the question as to whether or not he's actively killing someone or passively, is there a mice or is he passive, ask a fundamental question. Is he a rotzeach? If there's another rotzeach who's pushing him off the roof, or who's shooting him out as a human cannonball from the cannon, then there's nothing to discuss. Then for sure there's no Yehorik Valyama, because he's not in violation of the Isur.
From a naive point of view, the principle of my chazis has nothing to do with Ritzicha. My chazis just says, we have two people here, somebody's going to die, so the point is, it might be him, it might be me, so I'm not doing anything. But if I do something, even if it's not a Maaser Ritzicha, and I cause it, then I'm violating the Maichazes.
Right, but Sam, you have to understand...
You're saying it has to go with Maaser Ritzicha.
No, wait a minute. There's a piece of the puzzle here that's missing, and it's my fault for not clarifying this.
No, it's not your fault.
The issue here is, Sam, how do we derive Gili Arayas from Shvichas Dom? Wait, give me a minute.
I was thinking of Shvichas Dom.
Yeah. What we're saying is the following, is that in order for Tosfos to come up with some sort of a paradigm that could be applied to Gili Arayos, it's not enough to say, well, there are two nefashas shkulos and all that stuff. That's not going to help you. The Maichazis is very good and it operates in the context of Ritzicha, but it's not going to help you because we're not saying that the Torah considers, or at least Rav Chaim is not willing to say that the Torah considers Gili Arayos as equal to the nefesh of a person.
Right.
The issue here is whether or not we can be doche the avera of Gili Arayos based on V'chai Bohem. Does V'chai Bohem apply? Somehow we're going to have to magically derive from Rotzeach, from Isur Tzicha, that just like there's no V'chai Bohem in Lo Sirtzot, there's no V'chai Bohem in the case of Gili Arayos. How do we do such a thing? So if you're going to come up with a case where in Ritzicha he violates the Isur Tzicha, but nevertheless he doesn't have to give up his life, it means that I can apply the principle of V'chai Bohem, then you have a gevaldik akash against the Rama. The Rama applies V'chai Bohem to Gili Arayos, and he says, I'm sorry, the other way around. The Rama refuses to apply V'chai Bohem to Gili Arayos, and the Rama states that in all cases, barring no, allowing for no exclusions, there is absolutely no heter for Gili Arayos. the Rambam doesn't recognize any scenario in which you're allowed to violate Gilui Arayis. Period. Forget it. I'm going to quote the famous Pasuk Mechayev, and it doesn't apply to Gilui Arayis. So comes along Tosus and he says, wait a minute, I'm going to prove to you that V'chai B'hem applies to Ritzich. And if V'chai B'hem applies to Ritzich, and all I need is one scenario to prove that, then by definition, V'chai B'hem is going to apply to Gilui Arayis. And then what you're left with is Shevi Al Tasa. Meaning, if Tosus can prove that even though in this case Reuven is going to violate the Isur Ritzich, but nevertheless we're going to allow him to do so, and he's going to violate the Isur, then I have a right to say that even in the case of Gilui Arayis, which is a derivative from Rotzeach, you're allowed to violate the Isur Gilui Arayis for the sake of saving your life. And therefore what I'm going to do is I'm going to say the following, that although in a general case of Ritzich where Reuven has to actively kill somebody, he's got to give up his life rather than do so, and he can't spare his life and violate Ritzicha b'maisa b'kumvaseh. And therefore, by definition, in Gilui Arayis, if let's say the Boel, we'll talk about that to make life easy, he would have to actively violate Gilui Arayis, then the law would be Yehari Val Yafar. But says Tosus, what would be in the case of a passive Gilui Arayis? Well, let's go back to the paradigm case, which is Ritzicha. What would be the din in a passive Ritzicha? So Reb Chaim says, wait a minute, Tosus, if you're talking about somebody throwing you off the roof, that's not passive Ritzicha, that's not Ritzicha at all. We have a Rotzeach, we can identify the Rotzeach, the Mashlik is the Rotzeach. Comes along the Chazon Ish and says, you know what, I have a different case. What happens if the Ma'ani says to you, stay put exactly where you are, the wind will carry you out, then since you deliberately placed yourself on the top of the roof, knowing full well that a Ruach Metzuya is gonna cause you to kill the baby, then we can apply the principle of Isha Mishum Chitzvah, I don't want to go through that again, and therefore you would violate Ritzicha in such a case as Tosi, you would not have to give up your life, despite the fact that you're violating Ritzicha, and that proves that V'chai B'hem applies to the Isur Ritzicha. Which means that, as I said yesterday, there's only one Aver in the Torah, which is above V'chai B'hem, and that's Avodah Zarah. But with the exception of Avodah Zarah, every Avera on the books has V'chai B'hem. In the cases of Ritzicha and Shevi Altasa, we're going to only allow you to apply V'chai B'hem when you're Shevi Altasa, which is called Karka Olah. And that disproves the Rambam's sheet. And at that point, Reb Chaim turns around and he says, you know what? The Rambam has a different understanding of how this is all working. And the Rambam holds that in the case of Gilui Arayis, there is no V'chai B'hem. In the case of Ritzicha, there would be no V'chai B'hem. And the distinction between Kumvaseh and Shevi Altasa is totally irrelevant. And how does that operate? Again, just to reiterate what we said yesterday, you have two Dorach, the Dorach Didach and Dorach Dechari, two Nefasha Shkulos. They neutralize themselves, we throw it all overboard, and we're left with the Isur Ritzicha without V'chai B'hem. Once you've proven to me that in the case of Ritzicha there is no V'chai B'hem, which means that you're not allowed to kill someone in order to save your own life, even if it means violating Ritzicha B'Shevi Altas, and now we can derive Gilui Arayis from Ritzicha. Okay, let's see if we can see this inside here. Now we're on the bottom left again, if you're following on page Tafret Mem Dalid, and he says the following. He says that Reb Chaim suggests in the second possibility, and this is line 3, the came under school in him, since both Nefashos, Reuven who's being forced to murder Shimon and Shimon who's the victim, are both equal in the eyes of God, v'meila eino nidches v'pnei pikuach nefesh. Those are the key words in Reb Chaim. That there's nothing to be doche the lav, the iser of Ritzicha, and therefore there's no V'chai B'hem. And therefore in chiluk bein shevi al taseh l'maisa b'yadayim, as long as you're violating the iser Ritzicha, not just an eved b'yad hazorek, then you have to give up your life. Now he quotes the Chazon Ish. L'fi zeh chayav larog es atzmo b'shvil hatzolas achirim. Listen to this. Chazon Ish claims that according to Reb Chaim, a person would have to commit suicide rather than rather than allow someone to die. V'imkein, look how paradoxical it becomes. This is all a quote from the Chazon Ish. Chayovim kol Yisrael lahargo. Now, the person who is about to violate Ritzicha, he becomes a rodef. Right. And if he's a rodef, then kol Yisrael have to kill him bishvil, in order to avoid shelo yashlichu al atinok, so that he shouldn't be thrown on the tinok.
Because of the Isser Ritzicha.
Because of the Isser Ritzicha. Even though, again, Reb Chaim would hold that there is no Isser Ritzicha because they're throwing him on the baby. So they're about to throw him on the baby. We all have to kill him. Why? Because he's a rodef. He says, this doesn't make any sense. Now we're looking at page Tav Mem Hei. He says, Reb Chaim's language is came of the school and the Mele Eino Nidches with Nefikuach Nefesh. And he says the following, that the Gemara derives the halacha of Yehari Val Yavar in Ritzicha from the Svara of Maichazis, and Arayis is a derivative of Ritzicha through the Hekesh. And according to the Sheet of Tosus and the Rambam, it all depends on how you understand this Hekesh from Arayis to Ritzicha. But now Reb Chaim is offering a different approach. He's saying, in truth, Ritzicha is not a new din. There's no real din here that we derive that tells me you have to give up your life rather than kill someone, but it's nothing more than the question of Pikuach Nefesh. And he writes here, very interesting, this I'd love you to underline. He says, Ilmale, if you could imagine in the most abstract world, that Haisa Metzius, there would be a reality such as Averas Ritzicha, you violate Ritzicha, Beli Ibud Nefesh, then Hayadin Yavar V'Al Yeharik. Why? Because there is no halacha, says Tosus, that we neutralize and undermine Pikuach Nefesh. It's just halacha of Shtei Nefesh Shkulos. But here, there won't be any Ibud Nefesh. It's just going to be a violation of Ritzicha. In such a case, Ritzicha is subject to the law of V'Chai Bahem V'Lo Shiyomis, and like any other Aver in the Torah.
There is such a case.
Oh, okay. That's interesting. Then he says, "Kol zeh who k'sham mamidim averas ritzicha neged v'chay bohem ozar ritzicha nidches, aval b'shosh yesh lanu shtei nefashos shkulos shebechol achas mehem yesh na halacha shel v'chay bohem." He says, "You can talk about if no one else is dying. Well, I'm going to use my pikuach nefesh to save my life." Even though it means I'll violate Lo Sirtzah, but in the case where somebody else is dying, here, what are you going to do? You can apply V'chai Bohem. He says, what do you mean V'chai Bohem? V'chai Bohem applies to him as much as it applies to me. U'v'mashen ogel achros ha'aloch shal V'chai Bohem ha'dov v'shakul. We're left with a stalemate. V'ein kan achra. We can't tip the scale in either direction. So therefore, we're left with one V'chai Bohem against the other V'chai Bohem. So here's where Tosus and the Rambam have machlokas. Tosus is going to say if you have one v'chai b'hem against the other v'chai b'hem, then shei v'altas, even if it means killing the other guy. And the Rambam is going to say that in this case, you have to be willing to die. And why is that? Because the Rambam holds if you're going to violate the Isur Tzicha, again, not the case of Mashlich Roso, but let's say the Chazon Ish structure where the wind is going to pull him over, in such a case, there's no heter v'chai b'hem. In other words, if you would choose one of the two, and in any event it would be an Averis Ritzicha, then the din would be Shei Valtase. And here the Rambam would also agree. Do you follow what's going on? This is, again, a brilliant move here. I want you to enjoy this. This is almost like could sink your teeth into this. He's saying like this. Imagine a case of Shtei Nefashos Shkulos, and if any way I turn, there would be a violation of Ritzicha. In such a case, the Rambam would agree, Shei V'altas, and do nothing. Why? Because B'chol Nefesh, Yesh Averis Ritzicha. So there's V'chai Bohem and there's Averis Ritzicha. Shneim Shavin and Shkulim. But here there's an option in our case of doing what? Doing nothing. And if you do nothing, you don't violate the Isur Ritzicha. So it's his nefesh plus a violation of Ritzicha against my nefesh without an Isur Ritzicha. The Mikra Shanu Donim Bo HaRei Yesh B'chol Nefesh Din V'chai B'hem. Ubatzolas nafsho, if he saves himself by killing the other guy, mitvasev, you can tip the scale. Again, you have two nefashas on the scale. He says, but if the nenas, right, the one who's being forced, now chooses to kill the other guy, so in addition to violating mechaibahem on the other guy's part, he also violates the isur tzicha. Al yidei shar yarogis chaveru, mitvasev averis tzicha. Ubatzolas nafsho, but if on the other hand he chooses to save his friend and he'll die, ain't averus ritzicha klal. There's no averus ritzicha. Again, you might say he's a suicide case, but he's not a suicide case because somebody else is killing him. That goes back to the Rukhaim about getting thrown on the tinok. There is a rotzeh. In Kedafilu tia averus ritzicha bechavero beli maisa, he says, even if he violates the Iser Tzicha without doing an action, he's explaining the Rambam Shita, right? Mikolakom hi machras. The Eina Nidches Mipnei Hatzolas Nafsho. So here he's saying something different than what I said. That's why I wanted to call this to your attention. I thought that what Rav Chaim was saying is that each Pikuach Nefesh negates the other one. It neutralizes the other one. You're left with no heter pikuach nefesh, and he's saying it a little bit differently. Maybe his way is sharper. He's saying that if I choose to kill him and save myself, then not only am I violating his rights to machaibahem, but at the same time I'm violating the isur tzicha. Yes. If on the other hand my other choice is to allow him to survive and I'll die, then there is no averus ritzicha, there's only my v'chaibahem. So if you have v'chaibahem on one side of the scale, and on the other side of the scale you have v'chaibahem plus averus ritzicha, the averus ritzicha is machriya sakaf, it tips the scale. That's his approach. That's right. Very, very interesting the way he says it. Okay, you know what? I'd love to hold on to these pages if you can. I still have a very eager, how should I say, eager to move on in this thing. So let's leave it for now. There's a lot more that's here. The Rambam in Perek Dalet Mehilchas Tefillah and the Rambam in Perek Yud Mehilchas Tefillah seem to be two halachas that contradict each other. In Perek Dalet, the Rambam writes, there are five things that are ma'akev es ha'tefillah, and the fifth on the list is kavanas halev. Now, when you say that kavanas halev is absolutely indispensable in tefillah, meaning if you omit it, you have to go back and repeat Shmon Esrei, where in the Shmon Esrei does that halach apply? Right? Let's say we have 3 brachos, 13 brachos, another 3 brachos. At what point do you say, well, I didn't have kavanas halev? So the Rambam himself addresses this question. He says, Ketzad, kol tefillah she'eina b'kavana eina tefillah. Says Reb Chaim, what the Rambam is saying is, let's say you read Baruch Aleinu, and you left out kavanas halev, that you skipped a brach. The halacha is, if you skip a brach, you have to go back to the beginning. Again, the language of the Rambam is absolutely crystal clear. Kol tefila she'eina b'kavana eina tefila. The mispala b'lo kavana chozer mispala. Again, the Rambam has great faith. You follow what I mean? Yeah, the second time around, he'll get it right. You know, the Rambam, by the way, gave up on us already. He says, don't even bother repeating Shmones. You're gonna get the same blood the second time around. Yeah. He says, Matza daita mishubeshes v'libo tarud. He doesn't have the capability of having kavanas halev. Asolo lispalel achetisyashev daita. Fine. So says Rav Chaim, it's clear from the Rambam that this requirement of kavana applies to the entire tefillah, from beginning to the end. Now again, I just want to add one comment here. If let's say you started Baruch Aleinu and your mind was elsewhere, but towards the end of the bracha, or maybe the middle of the bracha, I don't know what exactly. You know, we can whittle down the bracha to its barest necessities, but at some point you got back on track. Okay. But if, on the other hand, you didn't have kavanas halev from the beginning of the bracha till the end of the bracha, you know, like Rabbi Akiva said once, I thank my head for bowing at the right point in the Shmon Esrei, right? So then if you skip the bracha, then you obviously have to repeat Shmon Esrei. Frek Reb Chaim, Let's turn one page in the old printed Rambams. Today, maybe it's two pages, but and you open up to Perek Yud, six chapters forward. Mishis pal v'lo kivein es libo, says the Rambam. Yachso v'yispal b'kavono. That's so far so good. But in kivein libo b'brocha rishona, shuveno tzorach. The Rambam says he had kavono during avos. Then you yotzei shmones. What is going on here? The Rambam in Perek Dalet says clearly that there's no such thing as tefillah without kavono. And now the Rambam is saying there is tefillah without kavana as long as he had kavana in the first bracha. So here's where I see the derech of Reb Chaim. V'nira loma detrei gavni kavana yesh betefillah. There are two categories of kavana. Ha'achas, kavana shel pirush ha'dvarim. There's a requirement to understand what you're saying. Somebody just before said to me that we should have classes in Sidur because people don't understand what they're davening.
Okay.
For Shenis, he says the second category of Kavana, Sheikhaven Shu Omeid Bitfilo Lifnei Hashem. Kimavur Bitvarav, the Rambam says in Perek Dalet. By the way, you have this page? I think I photocopied it.
Page 2.
That's what we're up to, page 2. Okay, I didn't make that many copies, but at least I gave you one copy. And the Rambam says in Perek Dalet, Umaya Kavana. How do you define Kavana? And the Rambam says, Shiafanes Libo Mikol Machshavos. This is like the Sur Meirah. First, clear your brain of everything else. That's hard enough to do. On very rare occasions, I succeed. Okay? But here's the Kumba say, this is the positive part. Asei Tov. V'yire Atzmo Ki'ilu Omeid Lifnei Hashkina. So the Rambam says that the Kavona is that you're Omei B'fnei HaShechina. That's not the same as the first category of Kavona, which is Pirush HaMilos.
Why does it say Ki'ilu?
That's a good question. You mean the Rambam is saying that he's not really standing in front of the Shechina, it's Ki'ilu.
This is a fake out.
That's good. Good point. I guess he means that on a phenomenological level you're standing in front of the Shechina. Experientially. Oh, says Reb Chaim, V'nira, the Kavana Zu, Eino Din Kavana. Okay, now let's understand what intonation does Reb Chaim mean by Din Kavana. If we go back to the beginning of this paragraph, he says the first category of Kavana is Pirush HaDvarim, and how do you define Pirush HaDvarim? Who Din Kavana? And here he says that Omeid Lifnei HaShechina is not a Din Kavana.
You're assuming you do that already.
No, I'm asking a different question. What Reb Chaim wants to point out that these two kavanos are fundamentally different,
right.
Halakhically.
Right.
Not only in terms of the mitzvah. The mitzvah, we understand, the first category of kavana is Pirush HaMilin. Baruch Ato Hashem, Elokein, Rechalom, Borei, you know, Mevarech Hashanim, you know, you gave me the... The second kavana is that I'm Omeid Lifnei HaShechina. That I understand. But Reb Chaim wants to say there's a more, like say, I'll say a more subtle difference between the two. And very fundamental. The first kavana, which is Pirush HaMilin, that's a Din kavana. And Reb Chaim says the second kavana, namely Omeid Lifnei HaShechina, is not a Din kavana. Yep. What does he mean, a Din? What is this, very strange usage of terminology, you know. In Reb Chaim's vernacular here, there's a Din Kavana and there's something that's not a Din Kavana. So I think what Reb Chaim has in mind is the following. There are certain conditions that define the action itself, and there are certain conditions that are external to the action. We call it a Tnai. Do you remember the Gemara Tzuvos calls Tnai Milsachrita? It's extraneous, it's outside. The Maisa I did, but I'm missing a Tnai. Like, for example, in my shiur this morning, I didn't get up to it yet, but Rav Shach has this very fundamental chiluk between what he calls chatzi shiur, let's say I eat half a kezayis of the Korban Pesach, as opposed to achila gasa. And halach is that achila gasa is not called an achila. So Rav Shach claims that in the case of chatzi zayis, that's called an achila, just that doesn't have the chashiv. So that's called a din shiur, meaning it's extraneous to the mice. The mice is considered a mice achila, even though it's lacking in chashivas because I only ate a chatzi zayis. But in the case of nachila gasa, that's not nachila at all. We once discussed this similar idea with regard to the sugi ksubis of gonech v'yonek, that for the sake of a chole, you're allowed to violate the malacha mafarik of chole told in dash if it's completely shalom kedarka. Because in such a case that shalom kedarka, it's not a malacha at all. Whereas other conditions are, you know, I did the malacha, but I'm missing some sort of extraneous condition. So Rav Chaim wants to say the following. There's one kavana which defines tefillah itself. Ask me, what is a maisa tefillah? The answer is, I'm standing in front of the shechita. Ask me another question, what are the conditions in kavana? Then we have another condition that's called pirush hamilah. That's already a din kavana, that's already extraneous to the maisa. So therefore, Abosai, if a person would be omed lifnei hashechina, but he doesn't understand what he's saying, he doesn't have kavanah for pirush hamilah, is that called a maisa tefillah, according to Reb Chaim?
Yes. He has kavanah.
He's omed lifnei hashechina. He doesn't have kavanah for pirush hamilah. That's only a tnai. And if it's only a tnai, we can have a maisa tefillah without kavanah lepirush hamilah. Then we're going to set up the bounds for that condition. When does that condition have to be fulfilled? Right? So for example, I can make a tanai, and I can say to you, I'm selling you this cow, al minas, that you pay me 200 zuz, correct? So that's a maisa machira, but there's a possibility of non-fulfillment of the condition, and that's going to torpedo the chalos kedushin, or the chalos machira.
Was that what he's saying here? Is he saying that if the person mamish doesn't know pirush hamilah, but he knows more or less what did he the parent?
Well, that I don't know. But what did he have kavanah for? So the Rambam is saying the following, according to Reb Chaim: since this halach of kavanah lepirush hamilah is a din kavanah, meaning it's extraneous to the ma'isa, that condition has its limitations. Do you follow? We can add some of the fine print. And the fine print says that you absolutely have to have kavanah lepirush hamilah for what? The avos, the first bracha. So in the absence of kavanah for the first bracha, you're not yotzei tefillah.
Without
pirush hamilah in the first bracha. But if you had pirush hamilah in the first bracha, and now for the balance of Shmoneh Esrei, you're at least omed bifnei hashchina, that means you set up a maisa tefillah, you're lacking in pirush hamilah, but that's only a din kavana. And the only din kavana of pirush hamilah, which is ma'akev, is in avos. So you had kavana for pirush hamilah in avos, the balance of Shmoneh Esrei, you stood omed lifnei Hashem, you have a maisa tefillah. From now on, after the first bracha, we get to Machai Mesim, and you didn't have kavana for pirush hamilah, you're okay. B'diavad you and Yotze. Obviously, l'chatchila you should have kavanah for pirush hamilah for the entire Shmoneh Esrei from beginning to end.
I don't understand why we even need the pirush hamilah in
Avos. I don't know why. You know, that has to be understood. Why does Avos have a special role with regard to pirush hamilah? That's the Niels
question. Or is it because it's the first part and it's set the whole thing rolling?
Right, probably. That has to do with the sugya of stavan l'shman. That, let's say, if the sofer writes the first line in the get, l'shem ha'baal, l'shem ha'isha, right, l'shem gerushin, and so forth, whatever is required, l'shma, then even if he gets distracted and he's thinking about who knows what while he writes the balance of the get, it could be, I'm not posketing here, but it could be the get is considered l'shma. The l'shma is set up by the beginning of the ma'isa. So here, the beginning of the ma'isa tefillah is avos. I think Daniel it goes beyond that, but that's not Reb Chaim's address. You know, he doesn't.
Because you have to be omed lifnei Hashem and davening. You're not davening if you know
how to do. Exactly, it's not a ma'aseh tefillah. You're not davening.
Does pirush hamilah mean understanding the words that you think your mind won't be present when you're saying them? Your mind's not wandering.
Not
pleasant.
No.
Say one more time, David.
Does pirush hamilah mean, like in my case, you understand the words you're saying, what it means, or that your mind is present, your mind's not wandering somewhere off while you're saying?
No, non-wandering. That has to do with the first kavana, the basic kavana, which is essential to tefillah and a maisa tefillah, and that's called omed lifnei Hashem. Mm-hmm. If your mind is wandering and you're not omed lifnei Hashem because you're thinking about the football game, then you're lacking in the very essential maisa tefillah, and forget it. If that goes on for an entire bracha, it's as if you omitted that bracha. But let's say you're omed lifnei Hashem. I'm standing here I know exactly why I'm standing here. I'm very well aware of the fact that I'm always with Hashem. But you know what? I wasn't taught properly, so I don't know the Pirush HaMilu. So so the Rambam says that, you know what? You're okay with Avos. That's the barest minimum. You have to pay your dues with Avos, the first bracha. If you had Kavanah l'Pirush HaMilu, the first bracha, you're okay. So the Chazon Ish wants to suggest, no, the Rambam in Perek Dalet never told us the laws and the specifics of Kavanah. He waited until Perek Yud to address the issue of the details here. Exactly how to polish up, you know, the din of Kavanah, when it applies, when it's Likuba, when it's not Likuba. It's almost impossible to read the Rambam like the Chazon Ish, because the Rambam himself says, Ketzad, kol tefila she'ena b'kavanah lav tefila. So the Rambam is not leaving us any room here for, you know, well, we'll get to the details. And besides which, if the Rambam in Perek Yud is talking about the same subject of Kavanah as he addressed in Perek Dalet, why did the Rambam separate them by six prakim? And I can tell you, Rabbi Osai, I spent a lot of time, I gave a lot of chunk of my life on the Rambam Hilchos Talmud Torah. I have like 500 pages on it. It's all typed up, ready to be printed almost, except that I need to edit it one more time, and I'm a perfectionist. But be that as it may, one thing I can promise you about the Rambam, it's unbelievable. Every parak is a different theme. That defines the essence of the Rambam. There's no way. It's like part of the Maaseh Tefillah, like Kavanah L'Fnei Hashem. You define the Rambam. One thing I can promise you, there is no such thing as a parak in Mishneh Torah that's not dedicated to a theme. Exclusively dedicated to the theme. And all of Hilchos Talmud Torah that I worked on is all to prove that point. I mean, it goes without saying, you don't even have to prove it, but it's so beautiful when you see it, how the Rambam separates one parak from the other.
Yeah, but when the Rambam says that if you don't have Kavanah that you're omitted to Hashem and saying a tefillah, but that doesn't mean to say you're not doing anything. You could, in fact, be...
Yeah, you're doing a lot of things. You may be planning your next financial deal.
No, I don't mean that at all. I mean, you may be...
Well, your next heart surgery.
No, you may be... No, I don't mean that at all.
You're not a surgeon, are you?
No.
Oh.
Maybe you're getting credit for Talmud Torah.
You know, I like the cardiologists better than the surgeons.
Yeah, but... My father
would still be alive today.
You may be getting credit...
Should have listened to his cardiologist.
Yeah. You may be getting credit for Talmud Torah, meanwhile, because of what you're thinking about the time, you're thinking of some perush, you know, this reminds you of something else. It doesn't mean that
maybe you get a key from Talmud Torah.
Yeah, you could be getting something for it, but you're not supposed to.
And it ain't Kamach, ain't Torah. So if you're planning next financial deal, that's certainly.
You could be
either
on the Sikh and the Sikh Torah too, depending on.
That's right. Yeah. You could be over on a lot of different Amiris during that time, but hopefully, you know, you're thinking about your favorite. I like to talk about baseball because, you know, thinking about a baseball game or a sports game, that's neutral. You know, that's neither here nor there. You know. Many people are thinking about the next meal, you know, what they hope to tell their wife to cook for the next meal.
No, but that's what halacha is, that you're only supposed to be omit after halacha pesukah, not after.
Right. All those are fences, you know, to guard you and protect you from... From derailing, you know, mentally derailing yourself from Omid Lifnei Hashchina. But Omid Lifnei Hashchina, says Reb Chaim, that's clear in the Rambam, defines the Maaseh Tefillah. And he writes here, listen to Reb Chaim's language. He says, Im eino roes atzmo Omid Lifnei Hashem, ein ze Maaseh Tefillah. Yeah, you can call it whatever you like, call Talmud Torah, whatever he's doing, yeah, but it's not Tefillah.
But if it's Talmud Torah, then you're associated with Mitzvah's Batur Mitzvah. So he doesn't have to
daven. Could be, but not in the middle of Shmon Esrei. You know, if you asked me before he started Shmon Esrei, I would tell him not to daven. You know, he should be thinking. And he says the following: if a man is not omed lifnei Hashchina, eino roes atzmo omed lifnei Hashchina, he says hu bechlal misasik. This is very interesting because Reb Chaim understands that misasik means it's not called a maisa. You know, Rabbi Kivega has a lot of chakiris back and forth on what the getter of Misasik is. And he comes to the conclusion that there's Misasik in Kol HaTorah, there's Misasik in Shabbos. But I would say the following, that even Rav Kivega would agree to this premise here, that Rav Chaim is indicating that in Misasik with Kol HaTorah, that's not called a Maisa. So for example, I'm blowing I'm blowing the guk out of the shofar, and it out comes a tekiah by chance. That's not called the maisa tekiah. That's called misasik. Oh, and therefore says Reb Chaim, b'makom shahaya misasik, right? Because he's not thinking about tefillah. There's no maisa tefillah. Dino kilo is pal klal ukiilu dileg milos elu. So again, I don't know what the law is. You know, if you skip a few words in Shmon Esrei, I think you can still salvage. But if you skip an entire bracha, you're in deep trouble. And he says, "Vaday deleinyon etzem hatfila kol yutes brachos ma'akras." You have to have all yutes brachos. So you skip one of them, you're out. Oh, avlehecha shemechavein umakir ma'isav v'yodeashu omid b'tfil lifnei Hashem. Elo she'en yodea. What's going to be the next two words, David? Pirush ha-milim, right? He doesn't know the meaning. Is zed din b'tfilah. That's already an extraneous condition. Hosofas din kavona they should have for pirush ha-milim. And that's where the Gemara made the distinction, which the Rambam codifies in Perek Yud, between kivein b'bracha rishona and lo kivein b'bracha rishona. Comes along the Chazon Ish and he says the following. He says, there's no such thing as a person who's not omed lifnei Hashem. In other words, the set or the category that, according to Reb Chaim, the Rambam is talking about, doesn't exist. What do you mean it doesn't exist? I have to tell you, and I'm being honest with you, I was thinking about the baseball game. What do you tell me it doesn't exist? Says the Chazon Ish, if I'm talking to you, and we're involved in conversation, do I constantly have to remind myself that I'm talking to you? I am talking to Sam. Ridiculous. You stop him in the middle of a sentence and ask him, who he's talking to, what he's going to tell you. But is he consciously aware of the fact that he's talking to Sam? Says the Chazon Ish, no. But he calls it Bidea Klusha, who makir shu mispal lifnei Hashem. He's not just standing there like a doofus, pardon the expression. He's not just a mechanical idiot who's standing in front of Hashem mumbling. He's involved in a conversation with Hashem. He may not remember what he said, or he may not be aware of what he said, but he's aware of the fact that he's standing in front of the Ribono Shel Olam. Is he consciously aware? The Yediyah Brura? He doesn't have a Yediyah Brura, but he has a Yediyah Keha. I would call it a latent awareness. So there's the acute awareness and there's the latent awareness. So the Chazon Ish says that a person who's standing in tefillah always has at least a latent awareness that he's standing in front of Hashem. And therefore this whole category that Reb Chaim is building on is a non-existent category.
I think it's worse. It's worse than that. If he has a realization, he's standing before Hashem, and he's still thinking about the baseball game during that time, that's a pachin ponim.
So I can talk to you, Alan, and I'm thinking about something else. That's but I know that I'm talking to you.
Yeah, but I don't get insulted, but...
Yeah. No, hopefully you won't get insulted, because you know I'm carrying on a conversation with you. Now, if it gets to the point where his mouth drops, and he doesn't remember what word he's up to in the Shmona Esrei, right? Maybe even the Chazon Ish would have to agree at that point. But as long as he keeps talking, so to speak, as long as I keep talking to you, Alan, and engaging you in conversation, I'm aware at some level that I'm talking to you. I'm not talking to the vant. I'm not an idiot. So this is a major breakthrough for the Chazon Ish. There are two levels of Yediyah. You hear this, my son?
There's a
lumpish
question over here in psychology. The guy is not thinking of it. If you were asking, he would know. So
right.
They come up with a conclusion that obviously it's there at some level. It's not mukhra.
Not mukhra. Okay, so Rukai would tell the Chazon Ish to go fly Kai. There's no such thing. I'm thinking about something else. Why is my mouth moving? Because I train myself. You know, it's absolutely what's the word I want to use? It's absolutely addictive. Right. You know, it's like a programmed computer.
Sure.
Yeah, it's automatic.
Some people go into benching.
Yeah.
You don't watch them in the middle of davening, all of a sudden they're doing benching.
Well, that happens because you memorize.
I never had that experience.
You're in auto mode.
Autopilot, is there such a word? Autopilot? Yeah.
You clang. You know, that's you said a word that was in both tefillahs and it led you off into the other tefillah.
So you're obviously not thinking that you're davening. You don't know what you're doing.
Maybe the other tefillah is a perfectly good tefillah.
Okay.
I just want to see if I can. He says, "V'chol Adam." It's the Chazon Ish's own handwriting here, you know. V'chol Adam ha'omed l'spalel lo shayach bo misasik. There's no such thing as misasik. Reb Chaim created something that doesn't exist. Why? Dili olam yesh bo yediyah keha. Some sort of weak awareness, I call it latent awareness, subconscious, I don't know what you call it. Shehu tefillah l'sparach, that he's standing in tefillah in front of the Ribbono Shel Olam. It's like Sam said before, snap your fingers and wake up from your dream, and you'll know that you're talking to the Ribbono Shel Olam. The question is, in that split second until you wake up, he says, El she'ein libo air kol kach, air with an ayin. He's quoting, he's paraphrasing a pasuk in Shir HaShirim.
No, well, there's a difference.
Yidia klusha sagi bidi eved. Yidia keha, yidia klusha. He uses two terminologies to describe this so-called latent awareness.
Yeah, I wonder if it'd be enough given that if you're doing this reading from a siddur, if you're doing Baal Peh. Baal Peh, you're really, it's almost as you can get at the bench, whoever it is. Right. From a set, at least there is something linked to the words. Yeah. With your eyes, whatever.
It's some kuva say.
The classic case of misasek is somebody who's reading to proof. Is he Yotze Krishna? If somebody's being Madia, the Sefer Torah.
Right,
so
right.
There's a country component.
Huh?
The contrary Kabbalah, because you're in the.
And whereas, I mean, here's
No,
because we're
even neutral.
You also
he gets down the hill, so you're close to neutral.
In order to be able to.
He says Zed Dorashi Yefshar. Wow, very heavy language.
I can't imagine how low you can get. I mean, if you're standing as well, you still have your legs together. Somebody asks you a question, and you take a piece of paper, and you're writing down the answer. Meanwhile, so I guess you know you're standing as well to answer.
Texting during Shmona Esrei.
Oh, that's true.
Or maybe he's texting to the Torah.
We didn't hear that. So let's try to finish up the Reb Chaim for 5 minutes and then I'll let you go. He says the following. He says that when the Gemara says in Brachas Daf Lamed Dalet HaMispal Tzor Shichamin Libo Bechol HaBrachas Bofim Eino Yochel Chamin Es Libo Bekulam Yichamin Ba'achas Mehem Om Rab Chia Mishum Chad Be'Rebi Be'Ovos, is that's already a Din Kavana. And there the halacha is, which is Pirush HaMilos, that's a requirement in Avos. Be'emes, v'din kavona, now, just to complicate matters, Reb Chaim says there's a third din of kavona. You know, it's not enough that I'm juggling two. He says, be'emes, gam v'din kavona, he says, even with regard to din kavona, which means the kavona that's extraneous to the maisa tefillah, and in its absence it's not a misaseh, trade dinim yesh bozeh chad din kavona shemechavim lasos hamitzvah v'avim yidin kavona shall call a mitzvah the kaimel and mitzvah suichas kavona. Again, Reb Chaim is not willing at this point to break away into a long complicated discussion, do we paskin mitzvah suichas kavona? He's just assuming that we paskin mitzvah suichas kavona, but what does it mean mitzvah suichas kavona? Kavona l'shem mitzvah. And he says with regard to this kavona, Ein chiluk bein bracha rishona l'shara tefila came to din anoy b'chol mitzvus u'keshara mitzvus b'chol mitzvah kula tzricha liyaseis b'kavana v'lo ma'ani kavana b'mektsasa. He's not going to accept what we said before and get with Shema that you started the kickoff and that's enough. There's a that's me'elam. No, that's what he's saying. He's saying you do a mitzvah. Let's say the mitzvah of achilas matzah requires you to eat a kezayis matzah within 2 minutes. I don't know, I'm just throwing out a number, right? So every single part of that 2 minutes of achila is part of the mitzvah, the ma'aser mitzvah of achilas matzah. So every part requires kavana. L'shem mitzvah, if you hold mitzvah sukkah's kavana. And therefore, in the case of tefillah, the tefillah hopefully lasts a little bit more than 2 minutes, maybe 2.5 minutes, anyway, from the beginning of Shemoneh Esrei to the end of Shemoneh Esrei, but that's all part of one continuous mitzvah. Each part is likuva, the whole ganze business has to be l'shem mitzvah. So imagine now, it comes out that in Reb Chaim's frame of reference, you have 2 out of 3 kavanos, which are required from the beginning of Shemoneh Esrei to the end of Shemoneh Esrei. You know, here I think I would accept the Chazon Ish. What do I mean? If a person is omeg lifnei hashchina from the beginning of Shemoneh Esrei to the end, I don't believe that he has to constantly hack in his brain on this kavan l'shem mitzvus tefillah k'mo shekosu v'torah v'amadetem v'shem hakeichu v'chol avavcha. Here, I think the Chazon Ish is definitely correct. If you have kavana that you're standing in front of the Melech Malchei Hamelachim, automatically that's called l'shem mitzvah. I don't need a l'shem mitzvah. See, in the case of matzah, I need a l'shem mitzvah because it's a mundane action, it has no definition. What defines it and directs it as a mice of mitzvah? The fact that I have kavana l'shem mitzvah doesn't mean anything. I can eat matzah anywhere on the face of the earth the whole year round, but that doesn't make it into a mice of mitzvah. If I hold mitzvah suichas kavana, again, if you hold mitzvah lo suichas kavana, that's a different story. Then Sam, you're right. I'll look at the circumstances, the time, the place, and the mice, and so on. But mitzvah suichas kavana means I have to transform this mice, upgrade it to a mice of mitzvah. That's called kavana. But in the case of tefillah, I think Reb Chaim is pushing it. Because why do I have to convert tefillah into a mice of mitzvah? HaKadosh Baruch Hu tells me to daven, to pray to him, and that's what I'm doing. I'm praying. And if I'm aware of the fact that I'm praying and I'm standing in front of Hashem, that should be good enough. But Reb Chaim says no. That tefillah is no different than Shar Mitzvos HaTorah, and all of them need kavanah. I think the Rav in one of the yard sites, I'll bring it in if you're interested, he disagrees with this Reb Chaim. Very rare that the Rav publicly would disagree with the Zayda, you know what I'm saying? But in this case, I think he disagreed with him, and he doesn't believe that the machlokas between Mitzvos Suchas Kavanah or Ain't Suchas Kavanah applies to tefillah. But Reb Chaim assumes yes, because Shar Mitzvos. Why is this mitzvah different than any other mitzvah?
Because,
and the Rambam holds that mitzvah's tefillah is doraisa, correct?
Right.
The Ramban says it's only drabanan. But okay, even according to the Ramban, if it's a mitzvah drabanan, and if you hold mitzvah suichas kavana, even in a mitzvah drabanan, then you have to have kavana l'shem mitzvah, and lo mahani kavana b'miktsasa. It's halakha to tefillah the kavasa kula. Kula tzricha kavana. The entire tefillah needs kavana.
Yeah, because it's a avodah shebalayim.
It's zeh shepasakena Rambam. Again, I'm talking about kavana l'shem mitzvah, not kavana that I'm omeg lifnei hashchina. V'zeh ma shepasak haRambam dehod be'idon sheyeda shu omeg lifnei tefillah ma'aki bechol tefillah kula. V'ayin betray time. There are two reasons why it's ma'aki being called v'chada mishum d'v'lav hachiyav mesasik v'zeh ma'isa tefillah od mishum din mitzvah tzrichas kavana. Now, I've also what goes on for the rest, which we don't have time for now, is Reb Chaim is going to analyze this halacha of Pirush Hamilus B'Tfila as opposed to Omeid Lifnei Hashem. And the kavana, which is absolutely critical to tefillah and defines the mice, otherwise it's misasig. And then after that, Reb Chaim jumps to a different discussion about tefillah, in which Reb Chaim wants to be mechadish is something called a cheftza shel tefillah. And the word cheftza, it means as opposed to the gavra. There's a gavra hamispalel, and then there's the cheftza shel tefillah. So, for example, Reb Chaim is going to wonder about tefillas arvis. The Gemara says that even though we pass in tefillas arvis rishus, but if he accepted upon himself as a chova, then he's obligated to daven. And we accept upon ourselves tefillas arvis as a chova. So Reb Chaim wants to say that's a din in the gavra, that the gavra accepted upon himself to daven myra. But the cheftza shel tefillah is a tefillas rishus. And that's how he's going to use this lumdus to explain a Rambam that if midway through the Shemoneh Esrei in Meir, if you remember that you already davened, he says you can still complete the Shemoneh Esrei as a tefillas nedava, because even the first half of the Shemoneh Esrei was a tefillas nedava, and the Rambam yells and screams, but we accept it upon ourselves as a tefillas chova. So that in Mirtz Hashem we'll try to we'll try to do next week if we
do you
can.
Have the beginning of Rabbi Sadiq's article?
Yes, please. It's here. I just didn't know which part of the article within the context of the amount of time that we have we could focus on. So I thought that was the part that was most interesting. Okay then, Rabbi Sadiq, so I wish everyone a great day.
And,